Welcome to the virtual worship. My name is Timothy Dykstra. It is my privilege to share with you our welcome statement. We, the people of the Church of Nativity, United Church of Christ, believe that all people are of sacred worth. Therefore, we warmly welcome people of every age, language, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, gender identity, physical and mental ability, economic means, marital status and family structure, into the full fellowship, membership, leadership, ministry, worship, online and in person, and sacramental life of our congregation. We commit ourselves to continuing conversation and growth as we seek to be the loving and inclusive faith community that we believe God is calling us to be. As we gather in worship today, we welcome seekers, doubters, and believers. We also understand that we come together from different experiences. Some of us have had a wonderful week, others not so great. Some are happy, others are sad, some hopeful, and some discouraged. Nevertheless, as we say in the United Church of Christ, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Pastor Ruth will now share some announcements.
Easter is not one day in the life of the church, but rather continues for 7 weeks. So, we keep proclaiming Christ is risen. Christ is risen today. Hallelujah. I'm Ruth Snyder, and I have the privilege of serving as the pastor of Church of the Nativity. Thanks for joining us for this Easter worship. Our theme is Journeying with Jesus. Providing music for us today is our praise team director, Sean Hirawan, on the keyboard, soloist Laura Garrett, and two members of Nativity's praise team, Bruce Acker on percussion and Gary Schulenberg on the guitar. Thanks all of you for sharing your musical talents with us today.
Third and fourth grade, I'm challenging you this week. Let's see if you can beat out both middle, high, and first and second grade. Do you think you can do it? I believe in you. Okay. Now, have you ever been so focused on something that you were doing that you weren't listening to what anybody else was saying, like maybe your parents or your teachers at school? Well, when I was a kid, my cousin and I used to love to play on our Nintendo, which back in the old days was the game system that we had, and it came with a cartridge like this. I know you're probably laughing because this is huge. And you couldn't save games back then either. You had to play it, and then once you were dead, you were dead. That was it. And you had to start over all the way at the beginning. So we had this game, and it was called Bubble Bobble, and it was this two little dinosaurs that you played, and they shot bubbles out of their mouths, and they would capture the bad guys in the bubbles. And at the end of the game, there was a gigantic guy that you had to beat. And it was 100 levels. You had to play 100 levels. And my cousin and I were absolutely obsessed and focused on this game. And so every time she came to my house, we would sit and we would play this. And our moms would call us to come and eat lunch, and we would just ignore it. They would say, oh, it's time to go. And we were so focused on the game that we weren't even paying attention. And we didn't care about anything else in the whole world at that moment except for the game. And we did eventually beat it, but it took us a really long time. And I'm sure we probably annoyed our moms very much during the process. Now, maybe some of you love games that much and you do that, or maybe it's something else that you're really into, or maybe it's a friend who you just really love to talk to, and you kind of, the whole rest of the world just fades when you're with them. And our story today, Jesus is risen from the tomb, and he is walking along, and there's two friends who are walking down this road too, and they are going to a place called Emmaus. That was the name of the town. And Jesus is with them, and walking along that with them, and he says, oh, what are you guys talking about? They were talking about Jesus, but they didn't know it was him. And they probably looked at him like he was from outer space, because they said, who is this stranger who doesn't know about Jesus and what's happened to him? It's kind of like right now if somebody said, well, why are all the stores closed and why is nobody going to school? You might think that person must be from space because everyone knows about the coronavirus, right? So Jesus was the big deal of his day. And these guys just could not believe this stranger did not know him. But Jesus is talking to them as they're walking down the road, and they're interested in what he's saying, but they're not really listening. They're focused on thinking about Jesus still. But it's getting late, and they decide, well, we better invite the stranger to come and have dinner with us because there's nowhere else for him to go this late at night. And they do. And Jesus, like he did before with his disciples, took bread and he broke it. And in that moment, the men remembered what Jesus had done, and they realized who was with them in the house, and it was Jesus. And all of a sudden, nothing else mattered, and they were really listening. And so I want us to think about the importance of listening and paying attention when somebody's talking to us, because we never know what important thing it is that they might be wanting to say. And that's especially true now when we do a lot of watching videos and video calls and maybe talking on the phone that we don't normally do. It's important to be listening and paying attention. You never know what you might hear. I hope that We will see you next week and that you enjoyed this story. Would you please pray with me now? Loving God, we thank you that you always have something interesting and important to say to us. We thank you for all the people who teach us and all the people who care about us. And we pray that you would be with us as we go about our lives right now and help us to remember to pay attention and to listen. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See you next week.
Our Bible encounter for today is from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Notice how initially the travelers on the road did not recognize Christ's presence among them. It was at the breaking of the bread that it became clear. Our reading is from the New Revised Standard Version of the Holy Bible. Now on that same day, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders hand him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women in our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us what had indeed had seen, a vision of angels. And they said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scripture." As they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in and stayed with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scripture to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. So ends our hearing of words. May God's Spirit open our hearts and minds to understand the meaning that they hold for us today.
Anthony Bourdain, a chef that traveled internationally to bring culture and cuisine from various parts of the world to his TV show that he hosted, wrote this about travel. "Travel isn't always pretty. It isn't always comfortable. The journey changes you. It should change you." I think there's a truth in that quote, isn't there? Whenever we travel, we are changed through the experience. And it can be international travel, it can be local travel, it can be travel in a broader journey of an education experience or some other type of growing developmental experience. The journey changes us. I think one of the reasons we take photos when we go on a journey, when we travel, is so that when we come back, we can look at those photos and reflect and be reminded of what happened during that experience. And it is in that reflection often, that remembrance, that we see new things and our hearts begin to find meaning in the experience in new ways. I think that's what our story for today is about, that Tim read earlier. The story of these two travelers on the road to Emmaus. Now, the first traveler is identified as Cleopas, with the other person whom is not named. And some people would wonder if it was Cleopas's wife who was with him, or maybe the unnamed character is intended to be you and me, so that we can find our way into this travel story, this journey with Jesus. Well, the two of them are on the road to Emmaus. They're going from Jerusalem to Emmaus, about 7 miles or so. And of course, it wasn't a road like we experienced. It was a challenging road, and so it took some time to get those 7 miles. And while they were talking about the issues of the day, this is happening on the evening of that first Easter. And so they're talking about this Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified and such. And as they're walking, a stranger comes among them. And he begins to inquire about their conversation. He's overheard it. Now, the Bible tells us that it's Jesus who comes among them, but it also tells us that they didn't have a clue who this person was. And he begins to inquire of them, what are they talking about? And they're pretty shocked. They're also sad. As they say to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem that doesn't know what happened? Are you the one who doesn't know that Jesus had his final Passover meal with his disciples and then went out in the garden to pray and was arrested and tried and convicted and then hung on a cross to die? Are you the only person who doesn't know what was going on? And then we've heard that people went to the pew, to the tomb this morning, and Jesus's body wasn't there. And so they're trying to make sense of all this, and Jesus, who is among them, begins to share with them how the story they're recounting is part of God's whole journey with God's people from the beginning of Moses, through the prophets, through the letters or the writings of the what we would now call the Old Testament, what Christians call the Old Testament, but which were the scriptures for the Jewish people. And he begins to tie all these events together, along with the crucifixion of the Messiah, the one who was promised by God. Now, Messiah is a Hebrew word, which was the language of the Jews, but in Christianity and in Greek, the same word is translated Christ. So when we talk about Jesus Christ, we're talking about Jesus who is the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the one sent by God to redeem the people. And so Jesus begins to explain all of this and how it fits together. And I'm sure that Cleopas and his companion were rather astounded at how wise this person was, this stranger among them, and how knowledgeable about the scripture, but it still didn't click in for them. Well, after all this time, 7 miles, however long that took, they finally get to just outside of Emmaus, and like good Jewish people, said to Jesus, "Won't you join us for a meal?" Now, Jesus was going to continue on, but hospitality prevailed, and so they invited him in and continued to have conversation. We don't know whether this was their home or whether they were visiting relatives in Emmaus, but they sat down and they had a meal. And then at one point in the meal, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. And then Cleopas and his companion knew who it was that was among them. And as soon as they knew, the story says, Jesus vanished. Well, this was a shocking experience. They began to talk about that, what that meant. And then they said, you know, come to think of it, weren't our hearts burning within us when he was sharing the scripture? Well, they got right up, and even after having walking out, they go back to Jerusalem to find the disciples. And when they get there, disciples say, Jesus is risen and he has appeared to Peter. And then they share their story and how they had come to know Jesus in the breaking of the bread. It's a wonderful traveling story, a wonderful story about journey of faith and life. So what is its message for us today? Well, I think there's two things that are happening here. I think the first thing is that, like last week when we were talking about doubting, or about Thomas and how he's often called the doubter, but really is the believing Thomas. But at the very end of the story, Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And I think this is another story that is saying to those of us in the 21st century, you don't see Jesus the way those first disciples did on Easter morning. But believe me, he is among you. So I think this story is to help us see Jesus when it's not so obvious. It teaches us that we don't need to see the body of Jesus in order to know that the risen Christ, the Messiah, walks among us. There's a story told of an abbot in a monastery. An abbot is the key leader, the head of the monastery, and the monastery is full of monks. And he had a very dear friend who was a rabbi, a Jewish leader, and they were talking, and the abbot was saying that he was pretty discouraged that the faith of the monks was beginning to wane, and people were getting discouraged and wondered about the future and such, and where Jesus, where Christ was in the middle of all of it. And the rabbi said to the abbot, well, you know, we've always believed in the Jewish community that the Messiah is among us, is one of you. Well, the abbot was, what do you mean? The Messiah is one of you. But he took those words and he went back and he began to be in the midst of the other monks, and he was looking around and he was thinking, are you the Messiah? And he'd see another brother, are you the Messiah? And when he began to do that, he saw those brothers, monks, in new ways. And they began to see that he had been changed a bit. And they asked him why and what was going on. And he shared with them the words of the rabbi, the Messiah is one of you. And they began to look at each other in different ways. And then the townspeople who came in from worship began to see this new life that was emerging, new hope, new expectation that was pervading the monastery setting, and they began to be filled with hope and began to see one another in different ways. The Messiah is one of you. I wonder if that's part of what this story is trying to tell us, trying to share with us, that the risen Christ is living among us and in us and through us. So as we live in this confusing time of this pandemic, what if the Messiah is among us? What if the Messiah is the teacher who's trying to connect with students and is doing an exceptionally good job? What if the Messiah is the parent who's trying to work at home and keep children engaged and doing their studies and having a good time too? What if the Messiah, the Christ, are those nurses and doctors and aides and grocery clerks and garbage collectors and postal carriers? What if the Messiah is one of them? What if the Messiah is you? We don't always recognize Jesus. But this story says Christ is there. Christ is risen. What if you are the Messiah? I think the other message in this particular passage is a gift for the church. Because what it says is that when they looked back on the journey, they realized that when Jesus was talking about the scriptures, that their hearts were burning within. And when he broke bread, they saw who he was. Scriptures, sacrament of communion, or the Lord's Supper, or the Eucharist as it's called, are fundamental to the life of the church. And I think this story is saying, keep it fundamental. Because it is in reading the scripture and hearing the story that we see God's work in our world from long ago, and how we can see the story speaking to us as well. And when we gather for communion, the breaking of the bread, the drinking of the cup, that Christ is mysteriously present in that experience as well. In fact, it's so important that churches all over the world are working hard, because we can't gather together, and so we've all learned to do it virtually. To do a live stream on a Sunday morning, or a Facebook premiere, or a recorded service that's linked that people can watch. Next week, when we gather for worship, we will have Holy Communion, because it's our practice at Nativity to have it the first Sunday of the month at one service and the third at the other. And even though we will not be gathered in person in this community, here at the church, in the building, we will be gathered as community, and anyone can join with us. And somehow, in the breaking of the bread, Christ will be among us. This story brings a powerful message that says, in the midst of this pandemic, when we're on this journey that we never expected to travel on, and we don't know what the future's gonna be, and without a doubt, We are all changed because of it. We are not alone. Christ is among us. Imagine if we look around at our families or those with whom we gather in a Zoom meeting or those that we meet when we're out grocery shopping. Just imagine if we look at them and say, are you the Christ? Travel isn't pretty. It isn't always comfortable. The journey changes you. It should change you. That's what the life of faith and the journey of life is all about. May it change each of us for the better. Amen. Let us be together in a time of prayer. Risen Christ, you are among us. And like Cleopas and his companion, we don't always recognize that you are there. Speak to us through Scripture, through the experience of communion, but also speak to us through one another. Help us to see with new eyes and have our hearts burn with an openness to you, that when we look around, we can see you at work. Maybe not necessarily in the moment, but when we look back. Change us. Help us in the midst and beyond this pandemic to discover new ways of being community and country and world together. Help us to notice, O Christ, that our seas and our air are looking cleaner, and the animals around are feeling more comfortable. When we come out of this, O Christ, help us to love the world and your creation as you do. As we come through this pandemic, help us to look back and to see those who especially suffered, those whose skin color is brown or black, those who have been poor, those who haven't had enough, and help us to ensure that going forward, we work together to lift them up from poverty, from lack of health care, and that we become a new community where all people are valued. Help us, O God, to understand that we do live in a world that can't be isolated, that what happens in one place affects another. So help us to learn to live together in peace and to discover new ways of working together to bring about health, nutrition, homes, and care for all people on this earth. O Christ, we lift before us those who are on our prayer list, those whom we carry in our hearts that need a special measure of your love. We take a moment in silence to lift before you our individual prayers of thanksgiving and concern for ourselves, for others, for our world. And now, O Christ, for all these things and everything else that you know that we need, we pray. In your name, Jesus, using the words that you taught us when you walked this earth, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We are grateful so many of you have mailed checks or used our donation button on our website to send your offerings and donations. These enable us to have a virtual worship, Sunday school, youth meetings, and offer our building as a blood donation site for the Red Cross. All of this is part of our welcoming, nurturing, empowering mission to our community and the world. Thank you for your generosity.
With me.
And now, may Christ go with you. May I go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his love, his joy, and his peace, which passes all understanding. Amen. Have a blessed week.